You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can give at www.dreamcenterchurch.com, where every dollar helps advance the kingdom of God. We hope that this message edifies and encourages you to do the great things God has called you to do.
How many guys ever struggle with the thought that maybe you're not like Christian enough? Anyone ever struggle with that? Like, oh, maybe I'm not Christian enough. Yeah. And then you struggle with the thought like, well, how do I even fully know? Does anyone in here ever feel like, man, how do I even know? Right. Listen, I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been preaching under my dad. My dad's like his holiness. I mean this, my dad, you know, when you look at people, you can't see their wickedness at all. You guys know what I'm talking about. You can't see their sin. So I sit under my dad and I'd watch him be like, he's so Christian. There's no way I'm going to make it, you know? And then I have a brother named Gabriel, and Gabriel is, if you've ever met Gabe, you know he's going to heaven. Like, there's no doubt in your mind. We always say this as a family, but if he doesn't make it, then none of us are making it. Like, that's final. And sometimes I see other people, and I go, man, I see their works, and I see how they're going, and they look like they're doing really great, but I look at my own life, and a lot of times I'm in question. How do I know where my heart's at? What are some measurements I could take to really be able to say, oh, this is how I know I'm doing good in my life? How many of you guys would like to be able to pat yourself on the back sometimes, like, I'm doing pretty good as a Christian? Wouldn't that be nice, right? My wife and I, this is a sick joke, but husbands, I encourage it because it is really funny. My wife and I both, for a long time, struggled with whether or not we knew we were going to go to heaven. And so to mess with my wife, I would do this thing. I've told you guys this before. It's a really sick joke. When we'd be hanging out, you know, I'd be sitting down like this, and she'd go to the restroom. I would strip naked and lay my clothes out and put a Bible on my pants, right? So there'd just be clothes, and I'd go hide in the closet somewhere. And that way, when she came out, she thought the rapture happened. You know, she was raised in church, and so we watched all those movies where people disappear, but for some reason, God doesn't like American clothes or any clothes. You know, he just leaves the clothes behind. He likes people naked or something, I don't know. And so I would leave my clothes, and she would come out, and she'd go like, Tom, you know, and it would go into this, like, and what I was doing, and it's funny, is because we could all relate to that feeling. I mean, how many guys would come home to your parents? If you were raised in church, you know this feeling. You would come home and your parents aren't there, and so you start thinking, did it happen? Did I miss the rapture? You guys know what I'm talking about? Did you guys say no? How many guys have felt that, have had that thought? Like, yeah, okay, there are a lot of us. Okay, yeah. Those movies worked, man. I'm telling you what. Those Left Behind movies. Do you guys remember that one scene, the plane wrecks? Remember the pilot's the only Christian on the plane? Yeah. Anyways. And there's something that's not good about that. When you don't have a good confidence, you strive more. You get caught up in, we call it religious, but I'm actually careful about saying that. But we strive. We become people who try really, really, really hard to please God because we're going, I don't know if I'm there yet, so I want to get myself in this position. I got to put a quick promo because I'm reading this book right now, slowest reader in the world. But there's an author in this. How many of you guys know we're in the presence of an author? Did you guys know that? Yeah. Judy Patasri right here. I'm blasting you right now. Yeah. Do you have a copy of your book on you? I knew you would. That's like a true author right here. I'm reading this book, and I'm promoting it because we're going to buy a bunch of them and sell them. Oh, this is actually for you guys. Yeah. There's this book she wrote, and it's called The God Cycle. I've been reading this, and the truth is I'm a slow reader. But even more true about this book is that every time I finish a chapter, I have to stop. Sometimes I only finish a few pages. Like, I'm literally, I don't know if you guys saw this, but even on our church website, our church Instagram, we're quoting this book. And it's not the Bible, but it's just a really well-written book. And it's talking about, like, this, the very first few chapters is talking about us striving. And while I was reading that, I was thinking, this is every Christian I know. They don't feel like they're secure in their Christianity. They don't know how to measure it. Here you go, Papa. Yeah, you're welcome. It's a great book. I'm going to encourage you guys. You guys should pick up that book. When we order them, we'll have them in the back, and you could buy them up. We're not going to do it for profit, only for her profit. We won't take anything from it. But I'm bringing that up because I know in this room we've all felt that. And so today I'm going to, this is like seriously the most sermon formatted sermon I could preach to you guys. Last week, I just shared from my heart and I just talked and talked and talked and talked. Today, if you're going to take notes, you could take notes today. But it says this in scriptures. It says, man, who could know the heart of man? It's deceitful. It says, man, you don't even know your own heart. How many of you guys have ever found that out? How many of you guys ever thought that you felt one way, you thought one way, and then a few days go by and you realize you don't feel that way no more? Yeah, anyone in here like that before? How many guys remember being young, right, real young, and some of you guys that young was just like 6 months ago, and you thought you were going to marry somebody. Anyone in here thought that before? And you were obsessed with that person, and you were thinking about that person, and now you look back and go, my heart tricked me. That guy's an idiot, or that girl's an idiot. You know what I'm talking about? And that's just a simple illustration, but the truth is, oftentimes we think we know our heart. And when I say heart, I want to make this clear, not your, you know, four-chambered heart. I'm talking about who you are, your center, what you center on. And so today, with that in mind, knowing that we've all confessed, yeah, I need some help measuring my walk with the Lord. I need some help because I know for me, I read the Bible and sometimes I think, well, the rich man couldn't enter in because he had to sell all of his things. Maybe I should sell everything. And I'm thinking all these thoughts and we get all these weird ideas and we start striving. We start doing weird things like, well, I'm not praying. I actually did this in the beginning of the year. I was like, I'm going to read 10 chapters of the Bible every day. And my dad, again, he's kind of a hero. He will read the entire Bible in like a month. He's like a weirdo like that. You know, he just reads a lot. And I would try to do that. And after like 2 months, I found myself not reading the Bible at all. You know what I'm saying? And it was because I was doing this thing. I wasn't reading it for any other reason, but I wanted brownie points with God. So today I just want to give you three. There's a way more, there's a ton more ways to see how your heart is measured. But I want to talk about three ways to see how your heart can be measured by you. How many of you guys are good at judging other people? Anyone in here good at judging other people? I love judging other people. Isn't it fun? It is. It's fun talking about your judgments about other people too, isn't it? But I want to put the focus on you guys today. And today I want to talk about self-reflecting. In fact, I want to talk about reflecting your heart and how you can see where your heart is with the Lord. Because I think we all do something. We all do this. We either don't feel like we're Christian enough or we think we're so Christian and we're not. And we're bad judges of ourselves. Look at that graphic. I'm always so proud of my graphics, right? You can barely even see the heart. Thank you. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to get corrected. Not corrected, but I'm going to get harassed about how bad that graphic is. But I liked it, okay? It was the only stock footage I could find of a mirror that wasn't makeup. So anyways. So how do we know our heart? How do we measure it? And this is important to know too, that measuring is important for growth. Can I say that to you guys really quick? Measuring is important for growth. How many of you guys have ever tracked your weight before? Anyone ever tried to lose weight before? Yeah. Have you guys ever tried to lose weight without tracking anything? It doesn't work, does it? Yeah. It's like, oh, I've only had 3 cheeseburgers today. I'm good. You know, like, it's like, it doesn't work. You got to track. You got to measure. And we got to be people who are constantly measuring our own hearts. And how do we measure our heart? How do we tell where we're at as Christians? Well, I got 3 things for you. And the number one place I want to talk to you about where you could be able to measure your own heart is in the book of Luke chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you're going to go to Luke chapter 6. That's all we're reading today, all right? Luke chapter 6. I'm going to go to verse 45. I don't know what these candies are that you have up there, like, but they're delicious. Thank you. I don't know if you knew I took them from you, but they're delicious. I saw them up there and I took a piece. I should spit it out because I could hear my mouth watering. You guys hear that? Yeah, sorry. Says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. I'm a big fan of this scripture. I use this scripture all the time about myself. In fact, the reason why we pray the way we pray in this church is a lot to do with this scripture. Because how many of you guys know that you love Jesus? How many of you guys in here love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. I really do. How many of you guys know that you could talk about him all day? You know you could do that, right? How many of you guys have ever tried to talk about him all day, though? Have you guys ever tried to do that? We do this in the beginning of every service, and I love doing it. We've been doing it for 8 or 9 weeks. We start out with praise, and I'll get up here and I'll say, I want everybody to lift up your voices and tell how good God is. And everyone in here goes, oh, in the beginning, it's all exciting. Like, yeah, God is good. And all of a sudden, after a few sentences, our wordage starts to kind of plummet. I'm saying plummet, that's kind of a hard word, but we get quiet in here. And it's weird to me because we know in theory and concept, we could talk about how good God is all day long. We know that he's worthy of that. But what's being exposed when we open up our mouth and we start praising him is how much of that's inside of us. That we know about it. We know he could be praised all day. But when we open up our mouths, we feel something. We all of a sudden go, that's all I had in there. All I had was, God, you're good. You're worthy. We love you. You're good. We love you. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're good. I love you. You're worthy. I love you. You're good. And then we freeze up and we don't know what to say anymore. Even our minds start to drift. So I'm a big fan of this scripture. But this scripture right here is going to point out two different measurements about where you stand with God. The number one measurement is what's in your heart will come out of it. The good treasures. And I want to say this about treasures. Treasures are things that you value. The number one measurement that you could tell where your thoughts and your, I'm sorry, where your heart is with the Lord is what do you treasure in your life? Now, this is a good one because how many guys treasure good things? How many guys treasure your family? Anyone in here treasure your family? I love my family. Hey, Hannah. Hey. How many guys treasure your friends? I treasure my friends. How many of you guys treasure good experiences? How many of you guys treasure vacation? How many of you guys treasure the beach, dude? I love the beach, right? Yeah. We have all these things that we treasure. And it says this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. What this is saying is the best way to tell what your heart is what kind of actions do you have in your life? Are they good? This is a great one. I'm going to make this real simple because I'm not going to stay too long on this good part because I want to talk about your mouth speaking. For instance, do you desire good for other people or do you desire evil for other people? That feels like an easy question to answer, but when I look at the news, I look at Afghanistan, right? I'm looking at these people killing Christians. And I'm watching this. This is really happening. This isn't fake, no. This is really happening. And they're mocking Jesus by killing these pastors and these Christians. And then what they do is they take their corpses and then they tie them up as if they're being hung on a cross to mock the king that they follow, right? And I have this desire in my heart oftentimes that I don't want good for them. I want bad for them. And I want to say this. Because this is like so tricky, and that's why I actually don't want to stay on this one too long, because this actually goes really deep, and they talk about what good is and treasure, all that stuff. But I can't skip over this, so I got to tell you this. You and I should be people, if our heart is in a righteous place, that even our enemies we love. Even those who do us wrong, we should love. Help us, Jesus. Because I look at this and, hey, how many guys know we're American? We love our guns. Pow, pow. You know, we love that, right? We love our rights. But what about people who do you wrong? How are we supposed to act? How can we measure our heart? We're going to get to that in a minute. Let me jump ahead. But this is the other measurement I really need you guys to grab a hold of. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. This is one of my favorite ways to measure your heart. You're sitting there going, God, am I really for you? Am I really against you? God, am I going to make it when you return or not? God, am I even righteous before you? And we're going to cover all that really easy. We're going to package this thing in a nice little bow. You're going to feel real good at the end of the service. But I need you to measure something for me. What are you talking about? What comes out of your mouth on a daily basis? Are you talking about who's vaxxed and not vaxxed? Are you talking about people's fears and lack of empathy? What are you talking about? What comes out of your mouth? When you reflect on the last 7 days, what is the thing that's coming out of your mouth? Is it things that are just temporal? Is it things that are just treasured on this earth? Are you talking about business all the time? Are you talking about, or are the things coming out of your mouth the things of God? And the reason why I'm pressing this is that you and I are people who are supposed to be people who are fully committed and on fire and in love with God. You and I are. We're Christians. How many of you guys are Christians in this place? You know what it means to be a Christian? Can I stand up here? It means you and I are just like Jesus. And when I look at what Jesus, when I look at what Jesus talked about, you know what he didn't talk about? This is kind of frustrating. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm going to say this and it's going to bother you a little bit. Because if you're like me at all, you feel like we need to do something about all these other things. But Jesus shows up and he comes under the Roman guard, right? And when he's born into a nation that is in captivity by the Romans. And the Romans treat everyone like junk. They treat them like slaves. They kill, they rape. And you know what Jesus talked about? Not one time did he mention, we need to change the Romans. Oh, out of the abundance of his heart, this is what he spoke about. Even under the Romans, I bring a different kind of life. Even under your circumstances, I'm going to bring a different kind of life. What are you talking about? See, Jesus would only talk about, when you go through the scriptures, the only recording we have of Jesus, Jesus wouldn't even talk about idle things. He wasn't like, hey, did you see what Kim Kardashian and Kanye did? They want to talk about that. And I'm not looking at you saying you can't have conversations about these things. But today's message is about how you measure your own heart. And I'm asking you, what is the thing you love talking about so much? And then take that and say, this is what's abundant in my heart. You know what abundant means? It means so much so that it overflows. It means more than what could be contained. Abundant. That means when you sit down and you talk and all you want to do is talk about other people and all you want to do is gossip and slander, that means that's what's abundant in your heart. Not something that's a little bit in your heart, but it's so much so that it comes out of your mouth. And I think everybody in this room knows when you meet a really on fire for God Christian, and the first thing you know it by is how they talk. It's true. So when I'm talking to you about measuring your heart, I want to ask you, where are you measuring up at? What do you, did someone just say facts? Yeah. That's a 2 Chain, facts. I'm going to make that my new pastor name, by the way. I'm Pastor 2 Chains. No, is that a no? Is it a hard no? Okay. Change the website. It's going to be tight. Thank you. What do you talk about? If I was to take a survey of everyone in this room, and it was to be I don't have a hard time saying this word, anonymous. Thank you. I did that correctly. Thank you. Hooked on Phonics works, y'all. Shut up. Clapping. Let's take an anonymous survey and said, hey, 90% of the time, what do you talk about? I'd be fearful to know that. I'd be fearful to find out that the majority of it's not about the things of God. The majority of it's not even things about heaven or even good things. At best, they'd just be mundane things that are temporal. 90% of it would be mundane things that are temporal. I don't think most of us in here are just evil people like, I like murder. I don't think that's what you're saying. I think you're just talking about the mundane things. Things that have no consequence and no reward. You're talking about what's new in the news. Talking about what you had for breakfast. Now the abundance of the hearts for many of us is just mediocrity. And God's saying, I want you to know something about your mouth. It reflects your heart. If I could give you the first measurement today that you need to be marking down, maybe even daily, what am I saying? When you're sitting with your friends, you need to be asking yourself, what did I say today? Was I talking about the Lord? Lord, if I'm not talking about you, it's not going to be because I make it happen. I got to get into my prayer room. I got to start filling you up in my heart. That's number one. Number two, if you got notes. Someone was in here and they were taking notes one Sunday and I harassed them and I felt so bad. Who was that? Are you in here? She probably stopped coming to church. She probably got out of here. She's like, I'm done with that church. She was on her phone. I said, oh, look at you on your phone. She said, I'm taking notes. And she had the best notes. The second one, another measurement of your heart is what makes you tick. Now, another measurement of your heart is what makes you tick. And this is what I mean by this. What moves you? What makes you do things? How many of you guys ever heard the phrase, everyone has a price? Anyone ever hear that before? Yeah, how many of you guys believe that? How many of you guys believe everyone has a price? Anyone in here? Yeah, a few of us raise our hands. How many of you guys would do something real crazy for a couple $1 million? Anyone in here? No? All right, listen, I'll be real with you. Depending on what it was, I might do it, all right? There was a guy in Russia, a jerk kid. I'm going to say a jerk kid. He was got famous for a little bit because he was a multimillionaire's son, multi-billionaire's son. And he would go around and make people do foul things for money. And people would do foul things. Terrible, guys. Profane and disgusting things. But the reason why he was doing that was because he was, on his own accord, doing a social experiment with mankind. You say you would never do this, but if I give you money, I bet you will. I remember one time, this is so small, but we did a $20. I didn't do it. I was in the youth group. $20 if you would eat goldfish. Not crackers, like goldfish. Sounds crazy, but come on, how many guys like tuna sandwiches? You know, it's not that different, you know? And I remember thinking, oh, for $20, I would do that. And I got moved by that, right? Got moved by that $20. One time there was a place called Mount Mike's Pizza. It was the best pizza in California, okay? And we had a deal. Who could chew on a habanero pepper the longest will get a free pizza. Have you guys ever chewed on a habanero pepper before? It's stupid. It's the stupidest thing you could do. That day, by the way, I lost the goldfish deal because I couldn't do it. The guy who won had all this gel. This is early 2000s. And you guys remember the gelled spiked hair. And he just had gels dripping into that water. And I just thought, I can't do this. This is so gross. But the habanero pepper I did, I was moved by the money. Actually, let's go further. Socially, do you get moved by other people's opinions about you? That's a hard one. Because I know there's been many times that I'm walking in my faith, but when I know someone or I know an area that you're not supposed to be a Christian or you're going to get harassed as a Christian, I could get moved by that and I'll go, well, I'm just not going to talk. Or actually even just go a little bit further with social pressure. How many of you guys ever felt God tell you to pray with someone and you didn't want to do it because you were afraid of their opinion? This is a measurement of your heart. What moves you? You see, because this is what the heart is. When I talk about center, and when we talk about God lead my heart or come into my heart, be the center of my life, what I'm getting at is, God, you are the thing that moves me from here on out. When you go forward, you're the center of my heart. I'm going to go forward. But too many of us, and let me just put this back on. You need to measure in your heart what is moving you. Maybe it's a retirement plan. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your friendships. Maybe it's what other people think about you. Maybe it's your social media. And you're watching yourself do things and not do things. And God's saying, your heart is exposing our relationship. Can I say this to you? What moves you is a reflection of your heart. Can I just be transparent with you guys? I feel like every day I'm fighting the things that move me. Let's talk about sin. How many of you guys deal with lust or lying or gossips? And they move you. I know this on a personal level. That if you're not careful, men, your eyes will wander. Even your own head will be moved to and fro. That's a sign of your heart. It's the sign of the thing that's centered in you. That's not just a mess up. That's not just a mistake. That's a heart. And why I'm saying this is so important is because I think too often we take sin and we go, well, it was like a fluke. I tripped and I fell and I lied. God's like, no. That's showing you where you're at. I don't want to get too deep on this, but just on the sin issue, can I just make something really clear? Us sinning is not the big deal with God. It's our condition of our heart that's the big deal. Us sinning is the exposure to us to see where our heart's at with God. Does that make sense? There's a whole, if you need Bible verses for that, we'll get into Romans, and it's Romans 5 through 9, basically. And this is the last one I want to put out there for a reflection of how you can see your heart. Number one, how you talk. Number two, what's making you move. Can I say this? This is important. Fear and disagreement should not move how you love others. Can I say that one more time? Fear and disagreement. I'm hitting on both. I want both of those things very clear. Should not divide the brethren. If those things are moving you, it's a measurement of your heart. And the last one, chapter 6 of Luke. I had a whole verse for you guys about Ananias and Sapphira, but we're not going to get into that. They were moved by their money, but it's okay. We've done enough on that. How you respond is another measurement of your heart. Luke chapter 6, 27. I'm going to read a few verses. But I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Whew. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, but if you're good to those who are good to you, if you're only nice to those who are nice, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Mic drop. This is how you can measure your heart. How are you responding? Can I say that one more time? How are you responding? Someone cuts you. I'm going to just tell you right now, I don't like these kind of drivers, okay? I'm saying that because I'm the opposite driver, but how many of you guys get real ticked off when someone cuts you in the car in traffic? Anyone know what I'm talking about, cutting you off? How many of you guys get ticked off about that? Anyone in here? Did you just raise your hand? I see you cut people off all the time. Yeah. Not on purpose. No, yeah, didn't see him. Too busy hitting that gas pedal. Now listen, I'm the other guy. I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize to you, but if you see a big white truck zoom in and you give me 3 feet, I'm squeezing in that spot. But I'm going to talk about my side of the story. As I did this the other day, I'm driving and I'm going up to 20. Anyone live on the east side of 20? It's a different world. The driving out there is insane. If you guys have ever driven on the 20, 90 is like for grandmas, all right? You go fast on the 20. And I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to squeeze in. I'm driving, and this guy doesn't let me in. And guess what my response is? A jerk. Yeah? He sped up. Like, I'm going. I see a space. I'm driving. He sees me, so he speeds up. So I'm thinking to myself, well, I got you, sucker. So I hit the gas. So it's no longer, you know, it's a solid line now. It's actually a double solid white line because we're splitting. I hit the gas. I speed 3 cars up ahead of him. Whoa. And in my head, this is what I'm thinking. Gotcha. Like, I'm thinking, like, this is personal now. Me getting in this lane is about you and me now. And when this guy pulls up next to me, right? We're driving. I'm like, I'm just feeling good. Like, I won, right? I somehow won. He drives up next to me, and he looks at me. He's an older guy. Listen, this is shame, okay? This isn't, I'm just exposing myself. He looks at me. He shakes his head. He points at me and gives me the bird, right? And I go, gah! And I laugh at him. Because I'm thinking, I'm going to get in your head, man. That's over. And we're driving, and I speed up because I'm like, my truck's big, dude. I'm out. And later on, he gets next to me again, and he's, you know, I don't know what he's saying, but he's, I don't know. Probably praying for me or something. I don't know. But what's funny is that it was a reflection of my heart. It was such a small thing, but it reflected my heart. This guy, for that 3 minutes on the road, he probably forgot about it, by the way. I'm still here pondering on it. He really is the one who won. But I'm looking back at that, and I'm recognizing that he became my enemy, my competition. And I wasn't about to bless him. I was about to prove him wrong. Now, that's a small example of something that I've seen all over the place. That when someone is in a pickle or someone's in a disagreement with you, you and I, we don't love them. We don't care for them. We don't even get to the root of the issue. Instead, it becomes this game of, I'm going to teach you, pal. Heck, when someone's mean to us, actually, can I go a little bit further? Because I'm going to get real bizarre, okay? Afghanistan. I'm watching what's happening in Afghanistan, and it's crazy. When I'm talking about Afghanistan, by the way, I'm not talking about the politics. I'm talking about what's happening to our Christian brothers and sisters out there, right? And there's two things that go through my mind. Number one, I go, gosh, God, I hope I could endure that. I hope that my heart's in such a place that when my enemy comes against me, I could turn my other cheek and offer them to hit me again. That when the Taliban knocks on my door, I don't try to flee. I don't respond with a hatred. I don't go get a gun and shoot them. But I say, even if you want everything I have, I'll give it to you. That's crazy. By the way, I got to give this quick report about Afghanistan. There's a little church, had 150 people. It is now at 2,500 people because they're breaking down the doors in the church. And this isn't a popular thing, but there's a phrase out there, and you could take it or not, but persecution helps the church grow. I want you to know that. And we shouldn't be praying that the Christians could get out of there. We should actually be praying that they could have the courage to stand as the martyrs of Jesus, right? And that they could be a light, because there's a bunch of people who have nowhere to run and they're running to the churches. That's good news. We should be praying for those who don't know Jesus. That's what we should be praying for. Okay. I read that scripture. I'm going to ask you. You could measure with your mouth. You can measure with what moves you. But the major one that you need to measure is, how do you respond when someone's mean to you? Well, let's forget somebody. Let's forget that. Let's talk about your spouse, your children, your parents. Oh, I hear it all the time. Oh, my parents really screwed me up. Or my kids, they just hurt me so much. And it's heartbreaking for two reasons. One, how people, I'm using parents and children because I have kids, and I know one day my kids are going to break my heart. Can I go even further? Is this actually true? My spouse or my ex-spouse or my best friend. Oh, church hurt. How many of you guys know, have ever heard of church hurt? Yeah, okay. She heard of it and she did it. That's what that was. I'm just kidding. Did you know what they did wasn't right? But did you know the only responsibility you have is how you respond? In fact, God makes it really clear. This is how you should respond if you're walking with me. I want to land on this one, okay? I'm going to land on this. This is my last point. How are you responding? How are you responding to what's happening in politics? How are you responding to the news? How are you responding to your family and friends? How are you responding when someone comes against you? How hard, and I'm going to just step on some toes, and I have a gun. I love my gun. It's super cool. My dad gave it to me. But how hard are you holding on to your Second Amendment rights? Because I didn't read in there, if someone breaks into your house, you shoot them. And you could argue with me afterwards, I got it. But your response is going to measure where your heart's at. Can I say this? Not their response. That doesn't matter. Your response is the issue that you need to be handling with. The reason why I bring these three things up is because the truth is, you and I have a God who's after that one thing, your heart. He's after that one thing. He's not after you going, hey, don't lie anymore. He's saying, no, don't you see that lying is the heart issue? I want your heart. Give me your heart. And we do this. I do this all the time. Here, God, take my heart. Here, you can be the center of my life. But then there's good gossip, and I want to talk about it. Then there's a good slander. Then my wife calls me and says, are you almost home? Honey, I'm in the car. Then someone says something really mean to me. They hurt my feelings. And I go home, and instead of being in joy or instead of turning my cheek towards them and even letting them hurt me again, I go and I tell other people about it. This person really bothered me. I can't, they're always like that, aren't they? And this happened last year for me majorly. All the division and news, I was being pulled left and right. Where do I go? Where do I land? How do I speak? And everything in my life was all of a sudden being directed and moved because of the circumstances around me. And God never intended his children. He never intended the believer who says, Jesus, come into my heart, to be someone who is moved back and forth by the winds. But instead he said, I created you and I've come into your life so you can stand on a foundation that no matter what is happening around you, the circumstances won't move you. No matter what happens to you, the enemy can knock you down 30 times, but you still say, do it again. I know who my God is. My heart is established. All of a sudden, when you have the chance to speak out against those who hate you, you speak things of love. Because God intended you and I to have a heart that was pure and holy and centered on him. The problem I think we can conclude is that you and I forgot how to measure that. What are you saying? What's moving you? How are you responding? It's a reflection of what's right here. But if you're in this place today, and I was just talking about those three things, and in the last few days, maybe the last few months, you've seen where your heart's at, and today you're going, man, I want to get prayed over. I'm going to pray over you today. You don't have to come up front, because I'm going to pray over everybody. But I'm going to pray that you and I have the courage to adjust our hearts and trust God with the center of our life and say, God, no matter the circumstances, my heart's on you. No matter my enemies, my heart's on you. No matter if I'm out here in Afghanistan and they're knocking on my door and they're threatening my life, I will not run. My heart is on you. So Father, I ask as we reflect in our hearts that Jesus, you would help us make an adjustment today. Now, Father, we would measure our hearts today and say, God, where are we? Because my mouth keeps speaking these things. God, my actions keep being changed by the circumstances around me. Father, I have a hard time with those who hate me. So, God, I'm praying over everyone today. God, mend our hearts. Come take it over today. God, the places that we try to take back, the places we try to justify, I pray right now, God, that you would take that over. And we would be set on a solid foundation, that our mouths would speak holy, that God, we wouldn't be moved by circumstances, and that Father, we would respond in love and righteousness. So Father, I pray over everyone in this place today, that God, you would give them the courage and the ability to walk this life out. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
We hope that you enjoyed today's sermon. Once again, if you'd like to support this ministry, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com to help us advance the kingdom of God. And check us out on the Church Center app and all your favorite social media platforms. Until next time, be blessed and go do the great things God has called you to do.